Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one show to bring you all things Club America in English, from tactical analysis to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be recapping America's long week as they got 3 points at Mazatlán and a very, very important draw against Toluca on Sunday. And of course, we'll be looking ahead into the Clásico Capitolino, of course, as we have Pumas this weekend. And joining me today, rolling it back to the good old days, it is none other than my co-host, our beloved cowboy, Dylan Jimenez. Dylan, how are you, man?
I just realized I don't have my glasses, and I'm like, why do my eyes hurt? And so I guess I'm just going to have my eyes green the whole time. But other than that, doing good, man. Doing good. Just staying busy.
Staying busy, always working. It seems like you're always up to something. It seems like you never really truly have a day off.
Well, I mean, even now that I have the actual weekends off, I just don't know what to do with my days. So, I mean, like, I try to find something to do. So, I guess you're right.
Yeah, like, America can only cover so much of the weekend. It's only 2 hours of it. And then you exactly. Got to figure out the rest. I like it. Well, man, so like I mentioned, of course, we're going to briefly recap exactly what happened away at Querétaro. And, of course, exactly what happened in Toluca. Then we'll get into the Clásico Capitolino. And, of course, in between, some club updates, some news, some player injuries. It seems like whoever has our voodoo doll is not going easy on us, Dylan. So we'll get onto that a little bit later, but let's talk Querétaro, because this game was going to be a tricky one, and it definitely was for America. Obviously, the controversial call that was the Igor Lignoshki header that ended up being the goal to give America the lead, and you know, for a brief moment in time, the first place in the league. Talk to me how you felt after that game. Not only that, but talk to me how you saw America in that game, because obviously we were just coming off a big win 4-0 against Chivas, mm-hmm. and then you have to go midweek and kind of do it again against Querétaro.
Yeah, so I remember even talking about this game, just talking about the beginning of the season, how we wanted this game to be a win. And obviously, you know, it's great to, you know, not get to complain about, you know, picking up 3 points. But, you know, I never really feel comfortable going into Querétaro, but you know, I guess it was just one of those games too where, you know, you started off, you know, not the strongest. You know, obviously you give up we start down 1-0, but then you slowly fight your way and claw your way back in, and you know, you get the win. So, you know, I'm not gonna complain about a win, but you know, it's just one of those things too where it was kind of a little nerve wracking because I never felt the comfortablest going into Querétaro for a game like this.
It seems like every year going away at Querétaro, it's always the same game, right? Mm-hmm. It's always America mm-hmm. does exactly. a little bit less than what they're expected to. Querétaro maybe pulls out, you know, a thing or two, but ultimately it's not a nail biter. That's for sure. And it's one of those games that you kind of have to kind of, you know, ride through it. And I think America did so. And joining us, Dylan, it is Christian Rosendo himself from New York. Christian, thank you for the surprise visit.
Dude. I forgot we were starting late, so I got a little nap, and I was like, oh, damn, I woke up. So, nice. I'm here now, though, right?
Of course. Well, give me your 2 cents on Querétaro.
I got the score, right?
You did.
I'm pretty sure 2-1, yeah. Right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure 2-1. I mean, listen, I think we all expected the game to kind of play out how it did. You know, midweek game away, you know, it just had all the right ingredients to kind of paint out a long, drawn-out game. You know, I really didn't think that Querétaro gave us trouble throughout the whole 90 minutes of the game. I think once that we took control of the game, around the 10th minute mark, 15th minute mark, we didn't look back, right? But, you know, I good to see the team kind of, you know, get composed and get the win, because that was very important. For momentarily, we were the leader after the game. So, nice to see the boys being composed after being down. So, you know, good job on them. But like I said, though, I think it's just a game that we all kind of knew it was going to play it out.
Yeah, and it's kind of odd. You can always come into these games against Querétaro at the Corregidor and have a sense and a feeling of like, and it always looks the same. Like, I don't know why. Like, you go watch every America game against Querétaro, it's always at night, and it always feels very bland. Like, there's just no true emotion. But yeah, I mean, like Dylan said, none of us are going to complain about this victory, about the 3 points. And I mean, regardless whether or not people think that the goal is a controversial goal, which I really don't think it is. But hey, you know, America's got to feed the poor, and the journalists had to write about something, right? And it was Wednesday, so I guess the best thing was them having to go on that end. But it was a very, I don't want to say it was a very heavy rotated side, but it was not the same side we saw against Chivas. So you kind of saw that affect the team play. I don't think we played horrible. I just think that there's a little things that we have to fine tune. Like, for example, Cabecita is nowhere near ready to come back into the first 11. Like, you saw him struggle. And I think what Jardine is demanding from his wingers, at least on that left-hand side, is stay a little bit closer to the line. And Cabecita doesn't feel too comfortable kind of being confined to those lines. You see him cut in a lot, and rather than try to take on the player. Quiñones, again, a little bit disappointing. He just isn't convincing. I don't think anyone at this point as kind of that Henry role. And I mean, it's just kind of really bad luck on his end, right? He misses a really good chance, hits the post, and then on the other end, we get conceded on, which, by the way, is a terrible, terrible Igor mistake. Which I thought it was funny, Christian, because we were mentioning how great Igor did, right? And we're like, right. Well, it's only one game, so he's got to go out. And...
it was written in the story for something like that to happen. But no, you're right, though. I just think for Quiñones, it's complicated, right? Because obviously, we're technically playing him out of position right now, but for the hype that was made around him coming into the squad and his performance, it's just not adding up, right? And I I'm with you there. I don't think anyone or any medic now can be 100% content with what he's putting out and giving us week in and week out. And it's not like he hasn't been getting chances. He starts every single game, you know, and he plays pretty much 85 to 90 minutes every single game. So he has chances to kind of adapt, to kind of, you know, grow himself into being the player that we want him to be. It's just that he's not there. And maybe this Saturday is something different. Maybe with all the injuries, there's gonna be some adjustments in the lineup. We can finally see that partnership come together. But but do we really have to wait until a partnership to get the best out of him? I don't think that should be the case.
No, especially if he was the star studded signing for America this season. Although we'll get to it later when we talk about Pumas. But of course, rumor has it that we might definitely be seeing that partnership. Looks like Jardine experimented with him on the left, and obviously Henry Martin in that number 9 spot. Should be interesting to see whether that pays fruition this weekend. But anything else to add on about Querétaro? I feel like this is a game that, I mean, really, you can't go too much into it. It was midweek. America's coming off a very, very, very high win against Chivas, but you can't really compare this game to the Chivas one, because it's be comparing apples to oranges because of the rotation and everything going on. I don't know if you agree to that.
No, yeah, I definitely agree. Like I said, it's just one of those things too for me. Like, I just don't ever feel comfortable going into Querétaro. So it's just like you kind of said, I'm not going to complain about grabbing 3 points, especially on the road. So it is what it is. But I'm just happy those 3 points were able to get a hold of those. Because like we said too at the beginning of the season, we're supposed to play them the second, third, or nada. That has to be a win. So we walked away with the win. So.
You know what? That's the interesting thing about it is I remember we spoke about it and we said, well, after the Juarez disaster, you didn't know exactly what you were going to get. And to be honest, I don't know if we walk away with those 3 points back early in that season. And now you do. Obviously, it's an ugly win. Let's face it. But it felt just for this America side. And so I think it's perfectly how you describe it. It is what it is. You move on, right?
Yeah.
You can't look too much into it. Now, the true challenge for America this weekend was against Toluca. Christian, what were you taking away from the Querétaro game going into Toluca, knowing that, okay, we rested a couple of key players, we got a couple of our starters a little bit minutes, so they're not 100% cold. This was going to be probably the biggest challenge in September.
Yeah, no, definitely. But like you guys were mentioning, it's like comparing apples and oranges, right? I think we all kind of knew what expected going into Querétaro. When that game was over, my mom was like, okay, you know what? Listen, we got the win. That's good. I'll just move on to the look, because that was the game we were looking forward to. And going into that game, I actually felt pretty confident. I think that once, the full studded 11 was going to be out on the pitch, I think we were going to, go out there and give a good showing. I think that the players understood the assignment. At that moment, we weren't leaders anymore. So I think they had in the back of their mind that this is a chance to kind of prove to everyone that they still got it. Like, everything that happened throughout the week wasn't a fluke, and they can go out there and, regain that number one spot, and just show everyone that they can do it at any given moment. And for a majority of the game, I thought they did just that, but unfortunately didn't get the result that week.
Toluca is always a tricky one. Obviously, I think the stat was we hadn't won there, Dylan, since like 2019. Right? Yeah. It was 4 years. Years since our last 3 points there. Mm-hmm. And even then, like I growing up my whole life, I always remember Toluca game on Sundays afternoon, like peak highs, noon. You never got a good result from this America side. And oddly enough, Christian, though, for the first time in a long time, I felt pretty confident as well that we could get a result. Now, I not necessarily thought it was going to be a win, but I thought a point was huge coming into this game. I think, okay, you keep momentum still going, and just depending how you get that draw is important too. I'll say this much. I thought at the end of the game, we were the better side. I was surprised. I was shocked to see how much space Toluca was giving us in the midfield.
Right.
Which baffled me.
It was our fault, though, because we didn't know how to capitalize.
Exactly.
Right.
It was dumb because I think Jardine ball means go wide, right? And you saw the chances we explored in the middle was the goal that Diego Valdez was able to produce, also the shot that hit the post. So I think if we would have explored that channel a little bit more, maybe we could have came up with another goal or two. But 100% shocked to think that Toluca was going to give us so much space, so much freedom in that midfield, which is the thing that sucks, because I feel like if we would have capitalized on that, definitely was more than a winnable game. So, I mean, your takeaway on it, Dylan?
Yeah, I think this is the frustrating part too. Like I said, it was a winnable game, but I'm not going to complain about the point, because Toluca is also one of those places where I kind of, when the medic is going down, I'm just like, man, like, well, what the hell is about to happen? Because, like you kind of said, it's Sunday, that afternoon game, it's just kind of like, man, I don't know. It's just that weird, like, gut, little wretched feeling that it's just like, man, like, but, at the end of the day, I'm not going to complain about a point, especially on the road, especially at Toluca. Like I said, one of those places where it kind of worries me a little bit, especially not having to win in 4 years. But at the same time, it is frustrating to see that this game was so winnable. Especially after that red card too, I just kind of almost, all right, like, it's time to throw the sink, just screw it. What do you got to lose? Throw the sink. Let's see if we can grab that goal and walk out with 3 points. But, it is what it is at the end of the day.
And I don't know if you guys can agree to this. And Dylan, this one's question more towards you, because he is more of your player. Henry seems a little bit like he got into the game a little bit cold. Like we still need Henry to get a couple more minutes under his belt for him to kind of be prime Henry again. Which, I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't know if we get that prime Henry back in this tournament. I think it's a little difficult to ask. And I'm praying, I'm hoping that during the international break, Mexico doesn't call him up. Although I don't think that's going to be a possibility. I think they are going to call him up. But I think that, Henry, during the international break, could have came, played against Chivas, gotten some minutes, would have benefited him in the long run. I don't know how much of a look at he's going to get with the national team, especially with, obviously, the form Santi's in. So, I feel like there he'd be wasting a little bit of that progression to speed up to full Henry. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's like Chris says, right? Henry is rusty. Because when you said it, Dylan, I think it was like, yeah, minute 80 something, you said, throw the kitchen sink. We already had Henry out there already.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, just start bombarding them. Start bombarding them, you know? And at that point, unfortunately, they realized they were giving us too much of the midfield. So they kind of closed out that avenue. But yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate. At the end of the day, it sucks that we weren't able to walk away with 3 points. But it's like I mentioned in the group chat. If you would have told me you're coming into Toluca and if you can, you would sign the draw, get the point, walk out of there, I would. But I think the worst part about this is not only did this game feel like it was a very winnable one, we lose two very important players, Christian, in this one. We lose our starting goalkeeper, Malagon, and we lose our arguably best player of the season so far, Diego Valdez.
Yeah, no, those are two very, very tough blows. I know everyone was shaking when Oscar came in at halftime. Because I was shaking.
Yeah.
Things haven't gone Oscar's way, and he knows that, right? So, I mean, it was good for him. To get a couple good saves that half. Unfortunately, the goal does come on his watch, but I mean, it doesn't really do on that one. That was just a beautiful goal by them. So you got to give props for props too, right?
Oh, yeah.
But Diego Valdez, so that's gonna be the I think main one that really gets us. Like you said, he's been probably our best player all the season. I probably say the best player in all the league, honestly. And when you're going up against Pumas, a good Pumas side. And the class kind of there. I just hope that whoever gets called up to kind of, you know, reinforce that area that they do a good job, because this man was giving us everything for like the past 3 games, and we're gonna notice his absence, but hopefully it's not noticeable. But we're sure gonna.
Yeah, we'll fill the role.
I wish. I think he would definitely flourish in that number 10 spot, even though I think, you know, if Brian's listening to this, he would definitely be freaking out right now. But it opens an avenue for Santi Naveda to come in. So maybe he might take that opportunity. But rumor has it it's going to be Leo Suarez in that number 10 role. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show when we talk Pumas. But yeah, Dylan, talk to me about the devastation, right? The voodoo doll curse continues. We just cannot, for some reason, stay healthy for more than like a week.
Yeah, no, I seems like I need to go find a bruja somewhere here in town. First magic or something, yeah.
Seriously, we just got to get the biggest ostrich egg we can find and just do a whole limpia in and around Coapa. I mean, obviously, yeah, I think the Malagon one, and I mentioned to you guys, I think it was very unlucky, but I think it was his fault too. The way he dives, goes knee first. That's very amateur, Dylan, as you know that. You can't be doing that. And we know Malagon has a track record with that injury on that knee. So I would have liked to have seen that it was not the case, but you know, we're wishing him a speedy recovery. I think he'll be back hopefully within like 2 weeks. Again, I don't know. We don't know the extent of these injuries. America has a very a safe way of announcing their injuries, right? They're very much, hey, this is what they got, and their recovery time is, to be announced.
They will basically never announce.
Yeah, they don't. And I think it's just for them to kind of not have any liability if like they'd be like, oh, it's in a week, and then like, oh no, it's like actually gonna be 2-3 weeks, you know. So it's interesting. We'll see what happens. So obviously we're gonna have to keep monitoring the situation closely, but it really does suck that, you know, now we're down these two players on top of the fact that, you know,
I just noticed too that after a Saturday's game, we have a game on Tuesday and then another game on Friday.
Yeah, because we have Pachuca, and then which that was not gonna be easy. I mean,
that's terrible scheduling.
Is that in Hidalgo? Yeah,
it is. No, that's at the Azteca.
Okay. Yeah. Mazatlan is away.
Mazatlan is the away one. That's the Friday game.
Right.
And then after that,
3 games in the span of 6 days?
Yeah. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be easy. But hey, it is what it is. And I think America still will have zero to no excuses for whatever reason, right? So we'll see what happens. As far as the Toluca game goes, though, like we said, it's a little bit bittersweet. I think all of us, though, are content with that point.
The point is just that the injuries, man. The injuries just feel like it was a loss, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely. If you would have told me, look, sign the draw, you know, and everyone walks away healthy, then that's a win for me, right? Yeah. Because just how difficult it's always been in that stadium. But it sucks, and I guess nothing else to do but to kind of keep pushing it forward. So we'll see what happens on that forefront. Anything else to add on in regards to Toluca? I can't really think of anything.
No, yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah. Alrighty then. Well, we talked about it, right? Club news in regards to that aspect. America losing two players. We still don't know the extent of the injuries, but like we said, hopefully they'll be back soon. Transfer rumor, I guess. Brian Rodriguez potentially leaving this January transfer window. Christian, what is it called, Dylan? Are you buying it or selling it?
No, buy or sell.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure, honestly. He's having a great season. We can't take that away from him. It's just that I don't know if I see him leaving in January for $10 million. That just doesn't seem too too real to me. Obviously, we'll keep a close eye on it. But and if he continues to play the way he's playing, there's no doubt that this, right? I just don't think that, you know, a team that big for that amount of money is going to come just right away after just one good season with him, right? But like I said, though, we'll keep an eye on it then, and for sure, there's definitely to watch because his performance right now is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dylan, buy or sell?
I'm selling it. I come on the boat with Christian too. Like $10 million, like at least in January. I mean, maybe if you would have told me, like, I don't know, like six, sure, I'd probably buy that. But $10 million in January, that doesn't really click with me.
Yeah.
You know, the funniest thing about this is his first actual season with America where he's been consistent. And to think that a European team is going to be like, yeah, 3 months is more than enough for us to spend $10 million on this player.
Six, seven games. Oh, yeah, no, this is the guy. This is the guy. Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm pretty sure that number was made up by whoever originally first reported it, right? We know how Mexican reporters like to be. They like to add, you know, it might have just been 1 million. They add an extra zero. But I highly doubt it. Like, again, I think for him, Brian right now wants to focus on cementing that starting 11 spot. Look, Copa America's right around the corner. And I think he wants to cement himself as a potential player for Uruguay, for that competition. So, I mean, his national team competition is literally his teammate at America as well. So if he can keep him on the bench, like, it's you know, a good indication of that he's doing things right. So again, I mean, we'll have to wait to see. But I think that's as far as I've seen in regards to club news. Christian, I don't know if you've seen anything specific.
I just saw a couple reporters actually saying that we may be inching closer to June for a return of a goalkeeper that's currently in Spain right now.
Oh yeah, the whole Marchesin thing. I saw that. That's been blowing up in the past 24 hours.
I mean, I don't know how true it is. But I have seen a couple of sources just say that. Just keep your eye on this one, because, you know, there's definitely some truth behind it. I don't know if it's picked up any gas, any steam, but there's definitely some truth behind it. So that's another one we'll have to wait and see what's going on.
Well, here's a question for you guys. Would you take Marchesin back in June, knowing that potentially maybe Oscar leaves, we're in need of another goalkeeper? Do you bring in Marchesin, bench Malagón? Is that the right move to make? I mean, Marchesin is not going to come cheap, right? I mean, obviously, no. I know they were talking about the whole, he was asking for an extreme amount of money, like more than Ochoa or the same as much as Ochoa and this and that. Right. I don't think that's going to be the case, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be top three earners in America if he does come back. So, A, do you accept him? And B, do you accept him with a starting role if you do accept him, you know?
I kind of don't. Like, look, I appreciate what the guy's done for the club. you know, I'll always acknowledge that, you know, especially whenever he chipped Noel Guzman and Campeones. Campeones, I remember that. because that was like one of the biggest debates, you know. It's just like, oh Noel's better. No, like Marchesin was obviously the better keeper the whole time, and I don't care what nobody says. But man, it's just I just can't, because I feel like if that happens, even with Oscar leaving, I feel like we'd put ourselves in another bind, because Malagón's gonna want 30 minutes, you know. But you're obviously gonna give it to Marchesin, because what he's gonna be making, he's probably gonna be making more than Malagón. So then Malagón's gonna want to leave, and then what do? Kind of put yourself in the bind again. So
yeah, Christian.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. Definitely not a starting role. And I don't think he'd accept a backup role.
Yeah. Anyway. No, of course not.
Yeah, no. I just, right now, I think Malagón's in a good place. I think he's doing good for us. And I'm pretty sure this is probably the best route to get to the Mexican national team for 2026. Even if it's not as a starting goalkeeper, for Malagón, this could be the way to at least earn a backup spot, right? As a number two for any, just whatever case. And he also knows that if he wants to go to Europe, he has to maintain this starting position, right? So yeah, I don't even think it's in the cards for the club, unless some European team comes next summer and takes Malagón away from us. That's the only way he's actually coming back. But for right now, there's no way.
I agree, right? And so does Chris. He says, no, I wouldn't, come off a serious injury, and he was in terrible form with Celta, so.
Oh yeah! If Chris agrees, then I am off of my team coming back, just taking that. So.
Just to continue the fumes. Okay. It doesn't make sense. Like, it just, you're good in where you're at with Malagón. Like, I do think, Christian, that is the only way that it happens. It's a European team comes, Malagón leaves, then you scramble for, you know, a top starting goalkeeper, then maybe you think about bringing Marchesin. I mean, you're really two other options of bringing in a starting goalkeeper that you know can do the job is obviously Marchesin and Ochoa. And of course, Ochoa just signed a 2-year deal with Salernitana. He's not going to come back. No. So, yeah, I mean, that's the only way.
Huh? I don't think he ever comes back.
I don't know.
Play? Definitely not.
Yeah, I think maybe after the World Cup.
Really?
Yeah, just like a last hurrah. I can see it in the cards.
The man's gonna be like 70.
That's fine. That's fine. He'll be okay.
All these shouts of bringing Ochoa back, Marchesin back. Where's the shouts from my boy Navarrete to come back?
He's still active too. That's crazy.
Dude, I want to see the comeback.
Christian, you're talking about Navarrete. We're gonna have our own modern Navarrete in goal for Puma. So let's be careful what you're asking for.
I'm trying to get Hugo Gonzalez back.
Another one that's still available. You know what? America has never had an issue with talented goalkeepers. It's just sometimes I don't think they reach the level that all of us desire to, right? Hugo Gonzalez mainly being the one. I think a lot of hype was on him, being the canterano. You know, he showed some good spells. I remember the game that we had against Atletico Madrid, that he stopped like a couple penalties in that penalty shootout, right? Had himself a great game. And we thought, yeah, he's the future. And now look at him.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Where is he at? Juarez?
Sure, but no, that's a question. I might be there.
Who?
Yeah.
Oh, he's in Mazatlan. No?
Or is he in Mazatlan?
Yeah.
Bro, right. Look at that. Yeah. Our boy doing wonders against Chivas. I'm probably sure he wasn't in goal, but.
No, he was.
Oh, okay. He was nice. Okay.
He's conceded 15 goals, though. Okay.
Oof. Well, it's muscle play. It's, you know, it is what it is. But all right. Okay. That does it for club news and updates.
Is that Chris R, like our Chris?
Yes. That's our Chris. Why man can't, like, man can't be on the podcast, but he can definitely chat. So
let's. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Crazy. We pay him?
No, the board's gonna have a stern talking with him. Come, someone put the video of that guy trying to clock, like, enter the training facilities.
Just facility.
Guess yeah. Yeah. Guess that's gonna be Chris tomorrow morning when he tries to access the Eagle Eye Podcast Twitter account. but all right. Yeah, yeah, I think that does it for club news. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No. Ever. Well, I guess that does it for that. I mean, all there is left to do now is talk Clásico Capitolino, América Pumas. This is the game for the Canteranos, right? And I mentioned that because right now I think we have a really solid center back in Ramón Juárez. So is this the game that kind of, obviously Chivas is the biggest one, but this is the one following next to. So is this the game that, you know, we finally get to see a goal from Ramón Juárez, guys?
I mean, you would hope so, right? I'm just hoping for a solid performance. I think a performance in this game, like a true, like, real defensive performance will sell everyone, and he should be the starting center back, if he isn't already, by all. It's just, to me, you know, someone coming to the academy and putting up brilliant performance in both Clásicos, that's got to speak volumes, right? And mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the fans will notice that. I think it'll take a little bit of pressure off of him heading into the remainder of the season and into Liguilla to kind of be like, okay, so I am the guy and I'm going to prove it week in and week out. But if I need to win over the fans, of the performance out of 10 this Saturday, we'll do the.
And you know what? In these past three games, because he played against Chivas, in these past three games, I don't think I've had anything to complain about Ramón Juárez. Nor have I.
It's gonna freaking rain. It's gonna freaking snow. This dude has nothing to complain for once about somebody.
About a canterano. You know? Yeah. Exactly. You know, I'm not also saying that I think he's been the most stellar defender that I've ever seen, but
right.
Dylan, I think he's doing exactly what, you know, Luis Fuentes is, in a sense that, and I'm not comparing the two. I know that one is better than the other, yada, 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 but he's literally doing what is being asked of him, coming in, clocking in, doing his job very well. On to the next one.
Yeah, and I mean, like I kind of said, like, you can't complain about that too. I mean, I think when we were talking about the Chivas game too, Brian had said that, you know, he wanted a great performance from him too. And, you know, we're getting that. And, you know, you wanted to see him continue to do that too. And this is another great example of, with the Clásico coming up, you know, that, you know, solid performance, and, you know, you're starting to solidify yourself more and more.
He just needs that moment, you know, like, yeah, that moment that's like, oh my God, like, this is our guy. This is our guy. You know, the same moment we had with Edson, same moment we had with Diego Lines, with Diego Reyes. You know, he needs that moment. Hopefully it comes to Saturday, right? And what better way to do it in the past? But like you said, Ivan, good comments. We're praising him, but let's not, like you said, let's keep him grounded still, because he hasn't done anything yet just for us, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He's had three good performances. He's helped us a lot in defense, but let's keep it going, right? So good job on him, and hopefully he continues this performance Saturday.
And now joining us here is none other than Chris himself. I think Chris finally found his microphone. I think that's why he finally was able to join us. Yeah. Yeah. Chris.
No, I was going to say you didn't.
Yeah. Okay. All righty then. Well, let's move on from Ramón Juárez and let's talk América versus Pumas in depth here. So obviously, I'm not going to say a lot of injuries because obviously, well, actually, yeah, because we've been having a lot of injuries here. Well, no, we got another Chris in the chat. All right, let's see. Chris, what's going on, man?
Yo, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, what's up?
He's like, I just came here to say what's up.
I was getting yelled at, so I had to join real quick.
You're only 33 minutes late. 33.
But it's fine. It's fine, I guess.
I still got 30 more minutes.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie, but I was like 10 minutes late, so we're on the same page. Yeah.
It's okay. It's all right. Well, you joined right on time. There, yeah. Well, he's gonna yell at you for something. I'm sure he'll figure something out. But you got here right on time. We're talking América Pumas here, and I was just about to bring up the fact that, you know, we're coming into this game with quite an extensive amount of injuries. You know, a lot of rotation I'm expecting in the starting 11. The question I wanted to ask all of you is, do we change formations? Do we stick to the 4-2-3-1? Or do we resort to the diamond formation, seeing that Henry looks like he's ready to go those full 90 minutes, potentially, if not 70 plus? Christian, diamond?
We
going diamond?
We finally see Henry and Julian play.
Chris?
Do it.
I'm thinking 4-3-3. with 4-3-3. Jonah as a defensive mid.
Okay, Dylan.
As much as I love Henry, I'm just not ready yet. I think we stick with what we've been doing for the time being.
Well, look, here's what has been reported out of Coapa, like I mentioned to you guys. So he practiced with that 4-2-3-1. No, he didn't. Oh, that's the thing. So he went, obviously, it's Burnley Tuesday. A lot can change from here on out to Saturday. But he went, obviously, the back line was the same with the exception of Oscar Jimenez in goal. And then in the midfield, he went Jonah, Fidalgo, Leo at number 10 spot. Here's where it gets even crazier. Brian on the right, Julián Quiñones on the left, and Henry Martín up top. Well, I guess you can also invert that and be Quiñones on the right and Brian on the left. On the left. So I guess that could still technically work, but still. Quiñones on the wing. How do we feel about that?
I don't mind it. I mean,
yeah, I don't mind either.
I think if we're going to play Henry, you have to kind of put him to the left. It's not going to be a second striker. And it's not that bad of an idea. You know, I think Brian going to the right might be a little bit concerning because we don't really do on that side. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not a fan of Leo Suarez as an attacking midfielder. I think he looks super uncomfortable.
That's why I thought of the diamond. So when you asked that question, I said the diamond because that's what I want to see. But I do think that we'll just keep playing the regular how we've been playing. I'm with Chris here. I really don't like him at the 10, Leo Suarez. And I think we were just forcing him into that position. And, you know, he's had one, maybe two good performances. The rest haven't really been anything special, right? That's why I said let's give it a try with
But look.
We're not going to change anything.
Yeah, even if you play with a diamond, you're putting Leo Suarez in that 10 spot. Because who else is going to play in there?
Richard. I don't mind Richard there. If I'm being honest. Mm.
Yes and no. I mean, I think you're getting practically the same. It's just one's a left footer, one's a right footer. Yeah, really. I don't really see the benefits of either or in that position.
Well, the way I see it is it's who's more comfortable. And I don't. The thing about Leo Suarez is that I don't think he's comfortable there, bro. He runs into the defenders way too much. At least in my opinion, when he's there in the middle, and I'm not a fan of that. I think those are the type of players you gotta have space, you know. Even though Leo goes in and then out, right? Or I mean, yeah, in and out. I don't know, man. I just think Richard or even Fidalgo is probably a better fit than Leo on an attacking midfielder.
Well, Dylan, you called it yourself. You said Fidalgo.
Yeah, I mean, that makes the most sense to me, I guess. I don't know. But, Brian would probably like not like so I'll play here. So.
You're going to get a call right now. I think Christian got a call from Brian. That's why he had to step out. So, but look, it is what makes the most sense. But this is America. So, of course, it's not going to be the case, right? We have to complicate it somehow. And look, I think this is very unfortunate for Jardine because he was starting to win the fan base back a little bit. Obviously, the result against Chivas helps. The result that you get away at Querétaro helps. And the fact that you played a very good game against Toluca, even though you got a draw, helps you out a lot too. Now he has to go in and perform against Pumas. And the bar, let's face it, the bar is high. Like you beat Chivas 4-0, you're coming into this game, you're thinking, okay, you got to emulate something like that against Pumas, right? So, again, it's unfortunate because we know how much he struggled whenever he doesn't have Diego Valdez. And I think that's the one key piece that he hasn't been able to kind of figure out is whether or not he's capable of playing someone in that role or does he venture out and not necessarily have anybody in that. And I honestly, personally would think, you know, just why risk it? Go and put players in the position that they thrive in. And like Chris said, a 4-3-3 works perfectly, right? You have Jonah in that center defensive mid role, which he is absolutely tearing it apart. And then you have the liberty of Fidalgo and Richard in front of us.
Yeah.
So, and then to be honest, I definitely see Quiñones on the left rather than the right because he feels a little bit more comfortable coming off the left-hand side coming in. So, you know, and if that's the case, then of course, you know, Brian's had a great moment. Let's try him out on the right. See what happens. If not, then you have options. You have Leo and Sendejas. So that would make the most sense to me. Again, I don't think that's going to be the case. We'll see what happens. But regardless of that, what do you want to see from this America side, knowing that we're missing our most important player? You know, how does Harine basically erase that from being a factor in this one?
Chris, take it away.
Well, I think you have to show a lot of personality in this game, regardless of who's there, you know. I think, I mean, we've been America fans for a long time. But we know that probably the grimiest Clásico, right? It is a Clásico of the Academy. This is a true hatred, you know, like it gets very nasty on the field. I compare it to Mexico going to go play in a Central American stadium where it's a bunch of hits every second. I think that's how it is against Pumas. You see a lot of physical, a lot of personality, a lot of just, you know, just it's not really, it becomes a boxing fight, just to say, you know, and then I think America needs to show a little bit of that. It needs to show that no matter how much we get hit, no matter how much we hit, we're not going to back down. And it doesn't matter who it is, you know. If we have to put Leo Suarez as an attacking midfielder, then so be it. But he's going to have to get grimy with these Pumas players. And everyone else has to be the same. That's the reason I'm hesitant to start Henry, because these are the type of games that a player could come out injured, you know, because it is a very physical, classical, at least normally it is.
I don't expect it to be any different this Saturday, to be honest. I mean, Pumas is coming on themselves a little bit of a hot streak, right? They're trying to showcase that they could be potential title contenders. And so, of course, right, beat America at home. That's, of course, the most enticing challenge that any team in this league has. So, I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, anything to add on with that, Dylan?
No, yeah, I mean, I would kind of on the same boat with Chris too, you know, it's going to be a physical game. I mean, whether it's, I mean, obviously I know it's at the Azteca, but, you know, regardless whether it's at the Azteca or Seu, you know, it always comes out physical. And it's just one of those games to where, you know, you have to be in a sense like physical back, you know, you can't be scared. You can't be scared to take a couple of risks here and there too. But, you know, as long as you stay level-headed too, that's the kind of the main part at the end of the day, because, God, we don't need, with the injuries, we don't even need red cards or anything like that to be going on. But, you know, just playing out of their skin a little bit too, you know, playing with level heads though, and, you know, just playing like Chris has some personality, and, you know, I think this would be a very fun game. Especially the Clásico, I think that has more nowadays compared to the Clásico Nacional too.
Yeah, I think that one has a little bit more of a backbone than, you know, previous iterations of, like you mentioned, Clásico Nacional, and definitely games against Cruz Azul. So this one, you know, has a little bit more of a spice to it. I expect it to be, like you guys mentioned, not just physical, but I think on the tactical side of things, an interesting one as well. I'm expecting Hernet to find a way to break them down. It won't be easy. Look, they have speed, right? Obviously, their player, Chino Huerta, the one everyone's talking about, is going to be important, right? But can he do it against America, right? We'll have to wait and see. A lot of players, Alexis Vega, can't really bring it on the night, right? So whether or not he can, you know, cope with the pressure, we'll have to wait and see. But it's going to be important to see how we neutralize their threats, because I know it's not just him who's going to be a key factor on their attacking side of things. So we'll see what happens. And then, of course, going forward, look, sure, you don't have your number 10, but you have loads and loads of talent at your disposal, that we have a couple of players that can pick a pass, and we have a couple of players that can put the ball in the back of the net. I think we can't be doing what we've been doing against the likes of Querétaro, the likes against Toluca, even against Chivas a couple of times. We've been wasteful on our opportunities, and that is not an option in this game. I think you have to be as clinical as possible, because I do expect them to be, you know, a little bit tight on the defensive side of things. So we'll have to wait and see. But America needs to be clinical. And I'm looking at you, Quiñones. Jesus, I mean, put the ball on the back of the net, man. Like, I cannot. it's so frustrating when he misses a chance. Like, you just feel like he's doing it on purpose at this point, I swear. Just to irritate me.
Probably. He probably listened to this and he was like, yeah, I'm going to irritate Ivan Day this on purpose. Watch him Sky One on Saturday. No.
It's going to be a penalty in the 90th minute to win it.
Like, I'm going to sky it just to piss Ivan.
Yeah. So I can see that happening. I can see that happening. Chris, who's your key player for America in this one? If it's not going to be Diego Valdez, who has to step up in this one for you?
I think it's going to be Kevin Alvarez for me. I think we're talking about Chino Huerta, right?
Yep.
And I feel like Veneno isn't going to be a factor if you take away anything off the wing. Because I feel like Igor and Ramon Juarez will be anything in the air. It's funny to say that, right? Because considering our struggles throughout the years. But I just think that they've just shown that they're very solid. I just believe in them.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Alvarez used to shut down Chino Huerta, in my opinion. I think he's the guy that gives them life. And if he's able to shut them down and be offensively good, which there's no doubt that he's going to be good. I think that he's the key one for us to not take an L or a draw this week.
Yeah, and he's definitely he has to get better on the left foot shot. He had a couple of chances against Toluca, and let's just say he's definitely not a 5-star weak foot on any case in that sense. But all right, Kevin Alvarez, Dylan, who's your player to watch in this one?
I think I'm going to have to go, especially if we go this route. I think it's going to have to be Leo Suarez if he does start in that 10 spot. You kind of said, like, to me, it makes more sense to put Fidalgo there, but, you know, obviously things are going to get complicated, but the club's going to make it complicated. How do they might make it complicated? But, you know, I feel like this is one of those spots because I don't necessarily think Leo Suarez has been bad this season. You know, he's had his moments, like he's had some good stuff too. It's just now, you know, can he bring that over in the 10 spot and being able to produce and everything. So I'm really looking forward to that, and really looking forward as to him being a player to watch, especially in this game, if he does get that 10 spot.
Yeah, no, and if that is the case, you know, I want to see a couple of, you know, shots from outside the box. We know he has a rifle on him. We know he has that potential of, you know, scoring worldies. And really, honestly, anybody in the midfield, I'd just take a shot. Really, mm-hmm. Take a shot. We'll see what happens. But all right, Christian, you left for a minute, but now you're back. Give me your key player in this one and tell me why it's Fidalgo.
It's not going to be Fidalgo, honestly. It's going to be Julian Quiñones. I think he's been, you know, he's due for one. He hasn't scored in a couple matches. This is the perfect kind of get back on that score sheet. If we need to alter his position because of the injuries, then hopefully he takes full advantage. If he's put in a better position, hopefully he can show out and become the Julian that we all want to see. So that's
all right. Okay, I like it. My player is going to be Henry
Martin. Jimenez.
Actually, I was going to go there, but I think it's going to be more crucial what Henry does than what Oscar is going to be doing. Because in all honesty, I do think that Igor and Ramon Juarez can keep Pumas at base so that Oscar doesn't have to do too much. We'll see if I'm right or if I'm wrong. But for me, it's going to be Henry. And one, because he's itching to come back to play, right? He wants to cement himself in that starting 11. And two, he loves himself a goal in a Clásico. And we used to say this before he started being just an absolute lethal goal scorer against Chivas. He loved himself a goal against Pumas. That's just the reality of it, too. He loves himself a goal in the Clásico, and he definitely loves himself a goal against Pumas. So if he does get to start, if not, if he does get... I want to see him for, like, you know, at least more than the typical 15, 10 minutes that he's been getting. And we'll see, but it's going to be interesting how he comes into this one. If he does start, I think it's going to be good for him. I think it gives him the opportunity to kind of adapt it to the game rather than having to just jump into it straight away, coming off the bench. That's always a little bit more difficult, especially if you're coming back from a, you know, pretty long, extensive period where you were injured. Mm-hmm. So other than that, for me, it's just Henry.
Just Henry. No, Martin, just Henry.
All right, so who's your number two?
All right, you know what, guys? I lost the audio for a second, so just give me one second.
This guy.
So we can talk bad about him?
He's in a fart.
Hold on.
Chris, we're live.
Yeah, I got you guys back. Sorry. My headphones died. Funny enough, you think they're wired, but they're not. They have to be charged. I apologize for that. There's always got to be some technical difficulties here. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Let's talk predictions now. We've talked about, you know, what we expect from these players. Now let's talk what we expect in the result category. Dylan, what are you going with? I know you got yourself quite the Saturday, you know, and word around town is that, you know, your place is going to be the place to be at this weekend. So what's your prediction?
You know, maybe this might be a little too confident for me because I usually go with the same results over and over, but I'm going to go with the 3-1 win.
3-1 win. Wow, I have not heard Dylan give a result like that in such a long time. Let's just put it that way, guys. You know, wow. Someone's, you know what? Let's just hope that is the case, Dylan. I like it. I love it. Optimistic Dylan is what I'm here for. All right, 3-1 to Dylan. Christian, where are you going with?
I'm going with Dylan, 3-1.
Wow, another 3-1. This is great. Honestly, really, truly. You guys are just shocking me. Chris, what are you going with? And is it another 3-1?
It's a 3-2, brother.
Oh, God.
It's a 3-2. I can't sit here and just say that I truly believe in Oscar Jimenez, but like I do believe in Igor and Ramon Juarez. I don't know, bro. I'm not rooting against Oscar Jimenez, but it's just one of those plays where you just feel you already know the story. It's just there. You just know what happened. But with that being said, I do believe in our offense, and I do think Pumas is going to get sluggish with us. And whenever anyone gets sluggish, I just think we look capitalized on.
Okay. I mean, that's a fair point. I don't see how it's not. I mean, we'll see. Like I said, I have faith in Igor and Ramon as well, which I think will make it so that Oscar's night's a little bit more quiet than usual. But again, that's me being a little bit too optimistic, I would say, but hopefully I'm right. My prediction, though, is going to be a 2-1, but not in the sense that it's like a very tight 2-1. I think it's going to be like those 2-1s that feel like you won the game 3-0. If that makes any sense, you know, like the opposition gets a really, really late goal to kind of, and it's, you know, what I'm talking about, not having that confidence with Oscar Jimenez in goal. But I do think that we can find a way to ride this game out comfortably. And I don't think necessarily we're going to be scoring a lot of goals, which I hope I'm wrong, right? I want to see another thrashing. But like I said, I think Cardenea has his team finally playing to the standard that he wants. And so I think that we can see a very good result. And you're at home. You need the 3 points. And like we mentioned, a couple of 2 games coming up are not easy whatsoever. So you got to keep riding that confidence and kind of keep building that momentum. And what better way to do it than in a Clásico? So I'm going with that. But all right. Okay. So we're going with hopefully a good victory. This game actually had a time change. It was originally scheduled for 6:45 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That meant it was 8:45 for you, Dylan, and 9:45 for you, Christian. So that's actually been pushed back an hour. So the game's going to be at 5:45 our time. For Dylan's going to be at 7:45 for Christian and all of our friends over on the East Coast, 8:45. Game's going to be on through the N. So don't worry if you guys are having issues because the last 2 games were on VIX. It's not going to be the case. So you guys are going to be good to watch this one on through the N. And yeah, make sure you guys follow us on Twitter. We'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on. I know AJ's doing a wonderful job in getting the gifts and the goals and all that stuff. So shout out to AJ for all the work he puts in that. Anything else to add on, gentlemen, before we kind of wrap it up here?
Let's go for a win.
I know, yeah.
I like it. Let's go for a win. Let's get the job done. And please, no more injuries.
Oh, yeah.
Fingers crossed, man. I don't know. Is it a team doctor? Is it I know Chris wants to say that it's the fatigue from the League's Cup.
It's all muscle, bro. Look at all of our injuries. It's all muscle.
Dylan, that sounds like we're not hitting the gym hard enough.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that we have three game days coming up.
Yeah, no, the schedule has been a mess. Let's be honest. I don't know about you guys, but this year I felt like there's been a lot of injuries just across the board in the world of football, more than your usual.
It's too many games.
Yeah. Too many games in that aspect.
In December?
Maybe. I mean, if you can... I'm sure there's a scientifically logical way to backtrack all of this, but I don't know. It just feels bad. I mean, our teams in Europe aren't doing a job.
I'm blaming the national team and League's Cup. But that's just because I always hate the
national. I'm blaming Chris.
Yeah, let's just blame Chris because he was late. So let's put it this way. Who's ever late for the following podcast, that's whoever's fault it is for America's injuries going forward. So Christian, you got lucky. Chris came like way later than you.
I know, right?
AJ's not even here.
Oh yeah, it's funny. Kevin Perez saying Jibber out. Man,
isn't Jibber he's
been out? Yeah, no, he's been out.
Do they have injuries?
Actually, no. Is he? Or did he go with Piojo to Cholos?
Or he's with? I don't know.
That's a good question.
He probably is at Cholos. And no one knows anything about Tijuana right now.
Yeah, no. It's a mess. It's a hot mess everywhere you go. One last thing you guys want to... I just want to comment this because all of Liga MX's Twitter is blowing up on this. You guys see the whole Jose Mourinho... I know you guys saw the whole Jose Mourinho thing. Yeah. Everyone is blowing up thinking, did you guys see Leon was like, it's official, he's not joining us. Like, I was like, come on, that's a stretch. I know content is content, but come on. Now you're being a little bit, you know, a little cringy right there. I honestly think that maybe he's going to be doing something with, like, some tequila or something. Because his Instagram post was a paid partnership.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe he's doing, like, some tequila-based promotion or something like that. I don't think he's necessarily coming to work for a team.
I don't think that we'll see the likes of Jose Mourinho, like, maybe the next 5 years. It's going to be a while.
The national team can't even dream about that.
No, of course not.
They know what.
Plus, let's be honest, Dylan. I mean, he's pretty busy with Roma.
Yeah. No, yeah. So, I don't know. It's just, I think like Chris said, it'd be about 5-6 years. I mean, I don't know. I don't see him coming at all. I feel like he's just going to just hang up the coaching whistle when they're in Europe.
Yeah. I can see that. I don't think he ever comes this way either. I mean, to be honest, it's a paid promotion for some tequila. That's what I'm putting my money on, and we'll see what happens. But my goodness, did Mexico Twitter just blow up whenever all of that happened? I'm just like, guys, come on. They're stretching, and this is a little bit farther than that. Kevin also saying, do we claim Travis and Taylor Swift?
No. Travis Kelsey. I am not claiming any Chiefs player.
Oh, come on, man. He literally has always seeked us out for our jerseys.
I mean, I claimed them in fantasy football before, but that's as far as I'll go.
Well, all right. I just love seeing those memes on Twitter. Like you know, they're like posting Taylor Swift's reaction and be like her reaction whenever Travis le regaló una playera del América or something like that.
Did you see the one where the Eagles one? I know Dylan's seen it. Where it's, they have a running back called the DeAndre Swift, and they have Kelsey's brother there too. They're like the only Kelsey and Swift that we care about.
I don't know. I haven't seen that one, but it's some funny stuff going on. It's funny. Someone put is like this means that somewhere in the near future, Taylor Swift will find a way to celebrate a goal from Henry Martin because of Travis. She watched the game or something like that. They just put some strings together. It was crazy. I just like, you guys have way too much time on your hands to be putting all this together. But hey, shout out to Taylor Swift. If she ever wants to go to the Estadio Azteca, we'll reach out to the club. We'll make it happen. She'll have the best time of her life. I promise you, it's going to be more exciting than whatever Chief game she goes to. So
who knows? Because we might see Taylor Swift in town here soon. The Chiefs are playing the Jets on Sunday.
Ooh, there you go. Well, if you for some reason see her in Times Square, Christian, just let her know that, you know, she's always got a palco at the Estadio Azteca for America game. Alrighty then. Midwestern Cholo saying, props to you guys for calling the scoreline against Querétaro and even the game-winning goal from Igor.
So we do.
Who said that specifically? I have no idea. But
the funny thing about that is that we were so confident with Chivas that it was like, oh, it's a away game at Querétaro. These games are always. It's funny, bro, because you would assume that you, like, your biggest rival, you have at least like on the scoreline, like, oh, it's pretty close.
Yeah, because I went 3-0 against Chivas. And I was very reluctant with Cadet. And I'm like, 2-1 seems a little bit of a stretch here. But hey, I guess it is what it is. And yeah, Christian, like you're right, you know, sometimes here and there in a blue moon, we get a scoreline prediction, right? It gives us a little bit more of a authentication that, yeah, some little credibility. It doesn't happen often, but hey, whenever it does, we welcome it. But all right, I think that pretty much does it for us. We'll come back next week. We'll talk America. We'll get you guys closer to the what is it, doble jornada, triple jornada at this point, because we play midweek and then we play Friday. We're all over the place. I don't really know what to call it. But hey, it is what it is. But we'll be back next week to talk America and hopefully get you guys closer to whatever the angle here is for America before the international break. So we'll see what happens. All right, then. With that said, anything else to mention, gentlemen, before we wrap it up?
Negative.
All right. Negative all around. All right, then. Well, you guys have a wonderful time. Thank you so much, Christian. Thank you so much, Chris. I know you guys made it a little bit late, but hey, we do appreciate that you guys are able to make it. And Dylan, of course, thank you for coming and making the time as well. And to all of our listeners, to everyone that came out, joined the chat, thank you so much. And Brian, I know you're listening to this, so hey, shout out to you. It's almost Halloween. You're almost there. But all right, with that said, you guys take care. Have a wonderful time. And as always, Arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.